Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stage Right Side. This is a very interesting episode as we dive into like a sort of holistic business view of what it is to be a dancer and a choreographer. So I'm talking to my manager. His name is Garen Scribner. He's the founder of Garen Media and Pilot Management. And he's a producer and manager based in LA. He went to got his master's at Harvard after being a soloist in San Francisco Ballet and an artist of NDT1. So he's a very accomplished dancer and a very smart guy. And I feel like for those of you out there who are curious about what the business of being a dancer looks like and what it looks like to have representation by a manager, this episode is going to be really interesting to you. So without further ado, here is the episode with Garen Scribner about management in dance and choreography. Enjoy! Garen Scribner, welcome to the Stage Right Side. How you doing?
So happy to be here.
I'm good. I'm so thrilled that you're here. I feel like this is the first time I am interviewing someone in your position on this show, which is, I think, hopefully going to be very informative for people. So, Garen, I'm just going to give them a little idea of who you are right now. Actually, that's a lie. I did that already. I'm gonna cut that in, all right, everybody? So you already heard that. So enjoy that you already know what he is and what he's done. First thing I want to ask you is, why did you want to go into this field of management and producing?
Well, I didn't know that I wanted to do it, actually. After my time on stage, I stopped dancing in 2020. Pandemic was the curtain fell, you know, and I never went back on. So March 2020 was it for me. So I had to figure out what was next. And I also had a surgery on my foot, March 7th, 2020. So I was actually recovering at home when everybody else was, you know, we were all figuring out what to do. And
wow,
I thought, okay, the body needs a break. And I turned 35 that same month. And I thought, all right, what's the next chapter?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like a...
And so you went to Harvard, easy.
Right. I just signed up. But I did have my eye on this master's program at Harvard at the Kennedy School of Government for years. It's the same program that Damien Wetzel did, president of Juilliard, and John Michael Schert, who was also an American Ballet Theater dancer for many years.
As opposed to John Michael Pants.
Uh-huh. Not that one. Fuck Pants. Fuck that one. I like Schert. But both of them, John Michael and Damien, had both... been encouraging over the years about the program, thought I'd really like it. So I had my eye on it. And 2020 gave me the perfect opportunity to take some time and reflect and write the, you know, 10 essays and take the exams and apply. So I did. And so that's how I ended up in this master's program, which is a mid-career master in public administration. And I finished in 22 and applied for a bunch of jobs right after graduation, the summer of 2022, and got rejected from all of them. So I was applying.
What kind of jobs were you applying for?
Yeah, like nonprofit art roles, chief of staff roles, you know, underneath executive directors and ADs and, you know, general managers.
Wait, Garen, where did you do undergrad? And did you do it while you were dancing?
Just like I did.
For like
I
over did. 20 years or whatever?
Yeah, it took me 7 years, basically, which felt like 20, while I was in the San Francisco Ballet. So I did through St. Mary's College in California.
Did you want to do that, or was that something like your mom told you to do?
I wanted to do it. I think my parents had been really, encouraging that I should get an undergraduate degree at some point. And I think I surprised them all when I got into a ballet company, and they were like, oh, you can make money doing this? Okay,
cool. You were like, not really.
Yeah. So I did. I did it in San Francisco while I was in the San Francisco Ballet through the LEAP program.
Yes.
And with the mind of maybe one day I'll get a master's and this will be useful. And turns out it was.
And tell my listeners what the LEAP program is, please.
Yeah. Liberal Education for Arts Professionals. And it's a program started by Claire Sheridan at St. Mary's College, which helps working artists get their undergraduate degree, Bachelor of Arts, the BA, it's not a BFA. And that was an important distinction for her. She yeah. felt like if you're already a professional dancer, you don't really need a BFA. You're going to need, you know, some more structure to, you know, your next career. And so, yeah, that's the program I did.
Okay. And loved it. What led you? So I guess you didn't get any jobs, which is very real.
Couldn't get any jobs. Basically the feedback was, I probably applied for like 70 jobs to be honest, all over the country too, because my husband and I were kind of open-minded. He's also remote. He's an actuary. He works for an insurance company. I'm completely remote. And so we had decided we were going to move to Southern California because we wanted to be back in California. We both missed it. And we wanted to live somewhere warm after Boston winters, which you know all about. Oof. And so many New York winters. And so, but yeah, I applied all over. And the same feedback was, you know, wow, you were a dancer. That's cool. Yeah. But you've never had a real job before, you know? Yeah. And I had produced for New York Public Media a bunch between 2017 and 2020. I have a couple series for broadcast and streaming that I've made and produced and, you know, sold and financed and did
pretty New York Emmy nominated. Unbelievable.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
And you got one, didn't you? Didn't you win one?
No. Nominated 6 times, never got the hardware.
That's some bullshit. God
yeah,
damn
so
it.
We're still waiting. So maybe the next one.
Yeah. Do you think you'll do another season of Broadway Sandwich or something?
We're talking with them now. But, you know, public media has had a tough year with the
with
current
Dookie
administration.
McDookie in the office.
Yeah, the funding has become Dookie. It already was Dookie, and now it's yeah. Dookie Plus. So they're struggling.
Dookie Max.
So they do want to do another season, and we're yeah. talking to them about some other projects, but yeah, still in development. We've done 4 seasons, wow. 32 episodes of Broadway Sandwich. So yeah,
that's a delicious sandwich.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think it's pretty yum too, and I love my team. So, but yeah, so I had produced some work, and I thought I had some more skills on the other side of the table, but no one was really able to see it in an institutional context because I yeah. didn't say I couldn't say, oh, I had this role at Lincoln Center or the Kennedy Center or something at that point. So my good friend Bobby Jean Smith, who I went to the North Carolina School of the Arts high school with, Bobby called me and was like, hey, we need a manager. I know you're free right now. You just finished school. Can you do it? And I was like, oh, I'm not really a manager, you know, but here are some great people who are. And she was like, we don't want those people. We want you. Mm. Just do it for a little while and see what you think. And so I said yes. And then I quickly realized that I was, you know, well suited for it. Yeah. I like
the network
challenge.
Is fierce.
Right. The network. I mean, I've been around, so I might as well make use of it. And then I yeah. also realized, you know, sort of something that I've been doing my whole life, making connections, making things happen, just because that's my personality. So I might as well make a career of it until
monetize
someone else comes
it,
along.
Hanny.
Yeah. And so that's how I got into it.
Cool. That is amazing. I mean, how sensible and turning, you know, those lemons into some delicious lemonade.
Right. And I love lemons.
Honestly. Me too.
I have a lemon tree in my backyard in California.
Rich.
Santa Monica. Yes, I
rich.
Do. Yeah. And when I moved in, it was really failing. It had scale all over it, which are like little sesame seed waxy parasites on bark. And I literally picked them all off with my fingernails, covered the tree in neem. I treated it with neem. I pruned it, and it is the most stunning lemon tree. It's prolific. It you know, lemons, they bloom all year. So it's just constant. So yes.
That is so cool. Well, I mean, how unrelatable, because it is, I think it's 9 degrees here right now. So fuck you and your lemons.
I'll send you a lemon care package.
Oh,
with just the middle
do.
Finger. Yeah.
No, I have a bag of lemons in the fridge, Diva. They're delicious. Word. They're probably from California.
Yeah, for sure. From Mexico.
Okay, so I want to get to the road of you representing me as well. So if I remember the story correctly, I think after you got things going with Bobby Jean, if I remember correctly, you reached out to me and said, hey, I'm doing this. Like, do you need help with anything? Is that correct? Did I make that up?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't thought about it in a long time. In my brain, you reached out to me to talk about it. But
okay, fierce.
It doesn't even matter.
Because you know I remember absolutely nothing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that tracks too.
But yeah, I think we were catching up, and yeah, the subject came up, and it was a pretty much, it was just like a no-brainer, you know? You and I know each other so well, have known each other forever, which I don't know if you give the context in the opening, but...
Well, we I will have to. Yeah,
we're going to have to meet.
Like 2008 or something?
No, before, way before, we met in high school. I remember meeting you on in the hallway at North Carolina School of the Arts. You were there with your VSA people
auditioning for summer programs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Lemon, with a lemon in it.
Jinx, I owe you a like shriveled New York lemon.
Frozen. Yeah,
and on that little audition tour at NCSA, what happened was I got a job with Ballet West. Could you imagine if I'd been living in Utah this whole time?
Literally, yes. And you would have, but you still wouldn't be living there. You would have just become you, just in a different route. You absolutely would have gone there, loved it, made friends, done a drag show, you know, written music, and still ended up on top of the world today.
It's really hard to imagine that, but I appreciate your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so yeah, we've known each other since, what was that? Like
24 years ago.
Yeah.
24 years ago.
26, Diva. Wasn't that
It would have been like 2000. It would have been like 2002, 2003, because I wasn't at NCSA until 2002.
I was already working in 2000.
No, 2001 I was there. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
So 25 years ago.
Damn, girl.
What fascinating television for those at home listening.
Right.
Okay, so I was, as a principal dancer with ABT, I have the luxury of doing like festivals and gigs and things that don't often come the way of dancers. It's just hard to get gigs outside of company life. It's hard to get a gig with a company. It's just hard out there. And so I'm really lucky, and I got a lot of opportunities to dance all over the place. That being said, I negotiate all of those things myself typically, and it's very difficult to advocate for oneself in these situations where people just want to milk you for everything you're worth. So, in signing on to Garen's roster with Pilot Management, I finally had somebody advocating for me and telling me, this is worth it, this isn't worth it, you know, things like that. And it's been just a freaking godsend for me. And it turns out that I'm doing things that I want to do and not doing things I don't. And that is a value add, if you ask me. I feel like, what's that quote? The like Kim Cattrall quote where she's like, I don't even want to be in a room for, you know, 1 minute where I don't want to be or something.
Not worth it.
It's a luxury, though, but that's how I feel. And you've helped me be fairly compensated and represented in these spaces. So I just want to say thank you.
That makes me feel really good, James. It's an absolute honor to work together. And most importantly, it's fun. We just have a great time.
We do.
Yeah, with the group of clients that we have, we've got a really small roster, you know, less than 20 artists.
Can you say some of the people that you work with? Or is that like confidential?
No, yeah, we work with Bobby Jean Smith, Nora Schreiber, Celia Rolson-Hall, Jack Fervor, Reed and Harriet, of course, Baye and Asa, Jaw Collective, Emma Portner, Houston Thomas, the list goes on and on. We've got just Danny Rowe, it's like wonderful people, choreographers, designers, and then some of our clients are writers and directors, composers. So mostly above the line creative talent, but then everybody has dance in their center, no matter where they are, whether they're working in film, TV, Broadway, opera, ballet, contemporary dance. So that's the sort of the binding agent.
So what I've learned from working with you is what I bring you is generally the smallest of the potatoes, because I bring you like, oh, I'm going to do a gala in like, you know, Des Moines. And you're like, okay, like I'm going to get a $13 commission from this. Love you, sweetie. I want
to talk except
about,
you don't go to Des Moines. You don't
I know,
go to Des Moines.
I know. I'm being a complete
nothing wrong with Des Moines. Know. Great town. But, you know, listen, and some of those conversations are like about Well, I am going to go to Des Moines because I love this person who's directing this show, yes, and I'm not going to make any money, and that doesn't matter because this is more valuable in this other way, or I'm going to bring a piece of my choreography, and yes, we love that, and that's fine. Like, when I start a conversation with a producer, a general manager, it's always about how can we work together? Like, this is a mutually beneficial relationship, and when you work with a client of ours, you work with us too. If we have PR opportunities for you, development opportunities, someone in your town who writes checks and you can invite to your gala, like, we're sending them to you. Mm. We want it to be, really holistic. A 360 thing. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's never just, give my client some more money. Like, it's not old school thing. And because I'm not an agent also, I'm just not going only deal to deal to deal. I'm really thinking about the long-term prospects and helping people build meaningful careers as opposed to quote-unquote successful careers.
So Garen and I have been working together in two regards, really. One, as me as a performer. So when I do a festival or a gig or something, he helps with that. But also with my work as a choreographer. And this is really, I wouldn't say new territory for me, but I feel like as I get older and get more opportunities and commissions, working with Garen and his team has taught me a lot. What I will say is, or why don't I let you answer this? What is the most difficult part of working with me as a choreographer at this point in my career?
Your schedule.
I knew you'd
your
say
schedule.
That.
It is, the tricky thing is finding time for you to be able to go out into the world and make your work as an independent or choreographer and director. You're busy. You are a principal dancer in one of the, busiest, most prolific American ballet companies, and you just don't have time. So it's a pretty simple one. Like, other choreographers might ask me the same question. I'd say, well, I think, you've got a long way to go in terms of developing your voice, or like some more, much more complicated answer. You just don't have time, boo.
It's so frustrating for me. It like drives me insane because, we've talked about this a million times and I've mentioned this a million times on the podcast, but I can't be a principal dancer with ABT forever. I will retire. And what I am desperately trying to do is set myself up to have a career when I retire.
Yeah, that's a threat, by the way. I will retire.
Yes.
If the board doesn't approve, I'll fire you all and I'll get a board who will approve.
I own 51%.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very frustrating because I can't really set, I'm doing the best I can and I'm doing really great and I've gotten amazing opportunities. I never, ever want to sound ungrateful. I am an absolute greedy bitch.
Take it all, honey.
And I love working. I really love it. It brings me great satisfaction in my life. And I love making things, anything. So trying to set up a career in making things while 98% of your energy is focused on being a dancer is really difficult. So there's a part of me that's actually really romanticizing the freedom of not having to go to work every day and rehearse for 6 hours and take ballet class every day. Mm. And I'm so curious to see what my work ethic applied to freedom will mm-hmm. reap.
Yeah.
And I demand everything, god damn it.
And you deserve it, but there's something about the in-between of it too, because your work at ABT as an interpreter of other people's choreography and direction is important to your profile and important to the ways in which people are able to engage with you and see you dance and just understand who you are. So it's a complicated question of like, when do you step on the stage? When do you step off the stage? And do you do it fully? Or do you, get a slate of guest performances over a couple of years where that can kind of anchor you? You're still performing and you're choreographing. Like, it's not just one or the other.
I don't think I want to continue doing shows. Like, I think I want to just retire and then focus on my next steps, which is, you know, choreography, writing, you know, things like that. But you never know. If something interesting comes my way, like, I don't know.
And maybe it's not dancing, but you're still making appearances, or you're doing speaking engagements, or you're doing something, especially as a writer, you know, with the books you've already written and the ones that you still have yet to write. You have a lot to share that still I would fall into the kind of performance personality profile that's going to be important for people, because also not everybody understands choreography and is able to, you know, go to the ballet and see all the new work. Like, they understand you as a voice. And you've created such a strong brand, and you've got such an amazing open personality. And I think there's a lot in that too, James. So we'll talk about that offline. But
okay, thank you. Let's turn it back to you. I want to talk about the San Francisco film stuff. So you're the artistic director of what's the title of the whole thing called?
Yeah, it's called Dance Film SF.
Dance Film SF. Look that up, folks.
And the San Francisco Dance Film Festival, it is the largest dance film festival in the world. The organization has been around for 17 years, and we get about 500 submissions a year. We screen around 90 of those films throughout the course of the year, mostly in our fall festival. This 2026 fest will be the 17th annual. It happens in October, November in San Francisco every year. And this past fall, October, November 25, we screened, we had 20 in-person screenings over the course of the fest.
Wow.
And the fest opened with a film that I produced actually called Tyler Peck, Suspending Time, a documentary about dear Tyler Peck, the incredible, the one and only. And it's a film that I was working on for 6.5 years. And it's now available on PBS, on Great Performances. And
check it out, folks. It's very beautiful. I think you really crushed it, Garen. You got to take a look at that. You can watch it for free on PBS.com. Just go and check it out on the PBS app as well. You can search for it. Just go enjoy the beauty, the elegance, the splendor.
Thanks, James. I'm so glad you saw it. But yeah, we screen documentaries and screen dance films and live captures and all kinds of things. And then we also commission films. So Suspending Time was actually one of our films that we have in our one of our programs, where we support projects that need help getting to the finish line with funding, with fiscal sponsorship, and with basically EP support from mentorship of, hey, where are you with the film? What are you going to do with this? Where are you going to get this distributed? You need to edit this again. You know, the runtime is not working. Here's how, you know, we are a nonprofit organization that exists to help dance films come into the world, because as you know, most of them are not commercially viable.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason we have dance films over the past 50 years are because of organizations like ours and PBS.
Yeah.
Because they're just not something that Netflix and HBO are buying up by the bundle.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know, a couple months ago, I sent Garen a private viewing link to something I made. It's about an hour long. It's a little documentary, highly illegal, that I made about my colleagues at ABT on an old camcorder. And I wanted...
It's so great, James. We have to figure out how to get it out in the world.
I mean, I'll release it illegally when I'm like 70 or 80, and it'll be a smash.
Great.
But right now, it's completely illegal. Like, it's... Yeah, I won't go into all the reasons it's illegal, but...
Just rights, like nothing bad. It's just rights. It's music, location.
Oh my god, it's not like it's nothing.
It's a
scary.
Lovely film.
Yeah. No red flags. It's just like filmed at the theater, which like by union regulations is not allowed unless you pay out the union, which costs like $1 million.
Right.
So it's sorry, I didn't mean to.
No,
it's not illegal actually. Me like ripping out. My
I didn't
hair
do it. Here. Hands don't, up. Don't shoot. Me.
And yeah, I was like, what do I do with this? And he was like, you can't do anything with this. And that is such tea. And I had a little screening for my friends in the ABT lounge, and we were all just gooned, cackling at it. It was so fun. And I made it to look like a sort of 90s PBS documentary, and all the music is like 80s, 90s hits. It's very silly and fun. It would cost $1 million to secure all the rights for the music alone, let alone.
Absolutely. It's a yearbook and it's so fun. Yeah. And, you know, I did send it to a producer friend of mine at PBS and she was like, this is great. But how could we do this out? I'm like, exactly. I know, right? Sorry. Like, here's something you're not going to want. Thanks for wasting an hour of your life.
Yes. It's going to be like a guerrilla release, like when I'm 80.
Mm-hmm. So we can always do it now and just see what happens. Like, who's
not trying to get in trouble right now.
Well, let's just say take it down. That's all.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. Be on the lookout for my illegal documentary. Yeah. Okay. I want you to give people out there who are listening ideas about what it's like and how to work with a manager or find an agent or find a team that can help you get your voice heard, whether it be as a dancer or a choreographer. What's your advice to these people who are curious?
I guess the first place to start is just explaining the distinction between management and agency. You know, agents are, man, I know some amazing agents, and that is a very hard job. It is tough to work in one of the big agencies in this country. And I'm talking about CAA, WME, UTA. They are high stakes, full throttle, lot of pressure on those agents type of places. And it is really important work because they're doing all the same stuff that you talked about at the top of this call, advocating for artists, being a thought partner, being, you know, reading scripts, making really meaningful connections with people, negotiating deals, chasing money, all kinds of really important things. But the tricky thing about, I think, being an agent in one of those firms is they're so beholden to shareholders and to profit margins that they literally just don't have enough time because they have to have so many clients to make the nut and like make enough money to keep their jobs, get their bonuses and all that stuff. So I work with some great agents at those firms and I'm so happy to, but I knew it wasn't going to be the right fit for me because I started so much later in representation that my role would be much, or I would be better suited for management because management is a little bit more intimate relationship with the artists. So it's like a kind of a, it really is a partner, like someone to be able to text at any point during the day and call and just like, hey, I don't really know what to do here. What do you think? Or I'm kind of losing it. Can we jump on the call really quick? And that's where I excel, is basically like figuring stuff out with people and making things happen.
The human touch.
Yeah, and management's you know, really looking at the holistic, like each artist has to be their own business. And if you're an independent out there, it's hard. And the people that you're, you know, thinking about, choreographers looking for help and representation, it can feel really lonely out there because you're just each opportunity can be really overwhelming. I don't know if this is the right amount of money that they're offering to pay me, or is this the right budget for the top line budget for the project? Can I get the right collaborators in? Then after this, what's the next step? Is anybody going to see this? Even if I spend 6 months making it, there's just a lot of questions. So, managers are looking at the like holistic kind of business of an artist, as much as they're looking at their well-being and like their long-term plans. So, my advice is to find people that you really trust and you really believe in, who have good taste and who believe in you and are going to support you. I think the actual business acumen can be learned. Like, I found this after I went to Harvard. I was like, most of the hard skills I could have learned on YouTube. Accounting, just general business practices, negotiations. What you can't learn is kind of like that adaptability, and you can't just come up with relationships and a network overnight. You can't find that on YouTube. Through just living life and being around lots of people and lots of projects. So find someone you trust.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So similarly, what is your advice for me as I seek another career, basically? And what can I do differently that I perhaps am already doing?
Well, clear your schedule.
That's what I'm saying. I will someday. I will retire, and that will be solved.
Yeah. I think the best advice I could give you, and I tailor this to a lot of choreographers, is what is the thing about you, like your intrinsic knowledge and field of expertise within a certain genre. Like for some choreographers, that's a relationship to classical music and, you know, classical form. And, they excel in telling that story because of XYZ about their own personality. Mm-hmm. For you, I think you do such a great job of that, is tapping into all of the various dimensions of what makes James, James, your queerness, your, sense of humor, your technical proficiency as a dancer yourself in both ballet and contemporary dance. So, you know, I think you're doing a lot of the right things already. Maybe one thing you could do is tie that a little bit more clearly to the work so that it just feels more personal. And then directors can say, like, oh, that makes, it could come from no one else but James. Mm. This makes so much sense. And I think some of your recent work is nailing that. Mantle, for example, you just did for the ABT Incubator. I mean, I've told you this now, and I've told anybody who'll listen, but I just wept in the room watching the... It's just in a studio. No lights, you know, no decor. And it's because it felt so personal, James. The music, it couldn't have been any other music. It couldn't have been any other step on any other count of that music. It just felt so right. So if any directors are listening right now who I haven't yet reached out to, hit me up. I'm going to send you a link because this piece is stunning. This is not supposed to be a commercial for James. I didn't mean for that. I didn't know the questions either, but...
You and me both. Oh, thank you, Garen. Thanks. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, well, I think that's a good place for us to wrap because it can't get any better than you telling me that you like my work.
Wrapping her up.
Garen, thank you so much. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Garen Scribner on Instagram. Follow SF Dance Film Fest on Instagram, and I'll see you out there.
Absolutely. Wait, do you have a separate account for Pilot Management?
I do, at Pilot MGMT.
There we go. All right. Garen, thank you so much. You have been such a good friend to me over the years, and I appreciate your guidance and help going forward. Thank you.
You too, my love. Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody, on the stage right side. All right, Garen, stay on for a sec, okay? We're going to
talk. Okay, bye.
Make sure to follow me at James B. Whiteside on Instagram and TikTok. That's James B. Whiteside. And don't forget to click the link in my bio to purchase tickets for upcoming performances or to buy my book, Center Center, a funny, sexy, sad, almost memoir of a boy in ballet. Enjoy!